The final faculty member I met with was Dr. LaRue, and to begin, I asked her about the data just presented at the ASCO meeting of the SOLO2 trial that has now demonstrated a survival advantage for the use of maintenance olaparib after platinum-containing chemotherapy in patients with platinum-sensitive recurrent disease and a BRCA germline mutation.
For me, having seen the SOLO2 overall survival is quite impressive. Because I think when the initial PARP inhibitor went in, there were a lot of discussion about, is it true benefit? Because it was only PFS at the beginning. And people were worried about, oh, but that means the disease will be so resistant after that actually they may die more quicker than we thought. So I think it's why after they tried to develop this secondary endpoint in terms of PFS2, OTTS2, to try to really try to see if the trend was keeping after the PFS. But I think it was still remaining in the mind of people saying, like, you know, if you reach an end spectrum, do you really have the same or not? And because there was this fear that maybe you increase the risk of resistance of the cancer. And I think to have this overall survival data, I think it's so reassuring. And I think it's the first time that we saw that in a way in cancer with a targeting therapy. So I think it's very impressive. And to have also the fact that, like at 5 years, we're talking about platinum sensitive recurrence. So they have 5 years more than a half still alive. And usually when we talk about ovarian cancer, we say that overall survival is poor and we usually take the cutoff for 5 years. And actually here, past the 5 years. But we cannot forget that SOLO2 is focusing on the BRCA. And we know from all the PARP that the group that benefits the most is the BRCA. So I think it's very good to see overall survival. And I think from the SOLO1, I hope we will have the same. Because when we look at the SOLO1, we have this kind of plateau at 2-3 years. So I hope that we translate into overall survival. I hope, given the result of the SOLO2. We will see that with the beyond BRCA. That is the main question. Probably, you know, the HRD positive. But again, the HRD positive is not a test that take all the patients together, and there's some limitation. And as I say, it was done each time on the archival tissue. And when we know that the tumor can change, that is a limitation. So I think it will be not as impressive, I think, in HRD. But I think given the HRD group was really identified as a group having benefit, I think we may see like benefit, but I think that will be not as impressive probably as BRCA.
So also, you know, as it relates to that question in terms of, you know, advanced stage disease, I'm kind of curious when you see a patient with both platinum sensitive and platinum resistant disease who's never had a PARP inhibitor. First of all, how do you decide whether or not you're going to use it and which one?
So it depends. At the time of platinum sensitive, I'm very biased because I'm from Canada. So I will go with a regulation and what is covered. I will go in Canada based on our approval for the BRCA population with olaparib because it's BRCA approved for olaparib. If there are non-BRCA, we recently have a specific access program for niraparib access. So if there are platinum sensitive responding non-BRCA, I will go with niraparib. But that is because of the regulation of our system. In terms of if I would be in a country or in a setting where I can choose between the three, I think I will use one where I'm more comfortable with. And I think I will also discuss that with a patient. Because, for example, if a patient have a lot of nausea and are very sensitive to nausea, olaparib is probably the one who gives a little bit more nausea than niraparib. But niraparib has a lot of potential hematological toxicity. But then if we can use a dose modification based on the weight, and if she didn't have any hematological problem toxicity in the past, you know, it's how we can guide. Recaparib as well, I think, is relatively similar to recaparib. The only thing is this liver enzyme, but I think it's well tolerated as well. So I really go with the one that I feel comfortable and based on the patient as well. Because if the patient has the tendency to forget to take the pills again once daily, it's easier than twice daily.
What about the issue of using a PARP inhibitor in a patient who had one previously? Just sort of putting aside regulatory issues in terms of kind of clinical risk benefit, in terms of whether or not that's worth doing. Any thoughts about that?
So currently, you're right, it's not approved. And currently, we do not know what is the benefit. So it's why there's a trial ongoing, the Oreo trial, that hopefully will give us an answer. So I think we don't know yet if there is a benefit of rechallenge or not. I think Dr. Moore like presented that SGO last year, potential benefit for some patients with rechallenge was a small retrospective study. But I think what would be probably important is how the first PARP was used for. So if it was, you know, in the first line setting and this, it has been stopped after 2 years or 3 years according to the regulation, and then after the patient relapsed and still platinum sensitive, you're still responding. I think, you know, spontaneously, I will discuss, but you're right, there is no data, and I don't know if the benefit will remain because of the trial were part naive. So we don't know, but I think it's something that would be interesting to assess. The patient who actually were on platinum-sensitive recurrence have a PARP inhibitor treatment and then progress within 8 months. I think here the benefit of rechallenge is probably not high, but it's where the benefit will be eventually to rechallenge, but with something else. So it's why now we have all this trial that where we look at eventually combining with PARP with something else to try to overcome this resistance. And that would be probably more the way to go rather than to rechallenge with a PARP monotherapy. Probably rechallenge with a PARP, but with combination of something.
So I want to talk a little bit more with you about your experience with using PARP inhibitors in terms of tolerability issues and toxicity issues. You were talking about the GI problems that are seen with these drugs, and you mentioned olaparib. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you see this playing out in your patients, how you approach it? Do you use preemptive medication, for example?
So as we know, because it's a chronic use, I think it's very important to make sure that the patient will take it because we have much less control compared to an infusion. It's every 3 weeks. So I think set up the expectation with the patient will be very important. And to be honest with them, that we know that they may experience some GI toxicity. And I usually prescribe preemptively some anti-emetics drug, specifically because we know that the initial side effects appear during the first 2 months specifically. So yes, I usually prescribe preemptive anti-emetics to my patient. I also advise them sometimes to take a little bit of snack with it. The type of snack really depends on the patient. So the tastes are very different and that really depends. But I think it's very important to educate our patient and also to try to explain to them why we're doing it. So it's why, again, going back to the trial and what has been observed, knowing that, yes, it's not necessarily what happened to them, but actually showing that the benefit that has been seen may help them to try to continue to be on treatment. Because sometimes the perception is very different from these pills compared to the chemotherapy, for example. So I think the education of the patient is important. I think it's also important to follow them on a regular basis because it's a pills and then we don't necessarily need to see them all the time. But I think to keep in touch with them regularly, I think it's important.
Initially, I was hearing people talk about, you know, like, again, GI problems with olaparib, platelet problems with niraparib, and cytopenias. But do you think that all these agents have some degree of cytopenia, some degree of GI, and it's kind of just, or is it more black and white?
It's a class effect. So they will all have similar, like they will all have hematological toxicity and GI because it's a class effect. But then after, because they have a slightly different affinity and maybe some off-target activity as well that we completely don't know all about, we may have slightly different side effects. But for example, niraparib also has some hypertension that has been observed as well. So I think it's something that we need to mention as well to the patient because it's something that I mentioned to them because I have started some antihypertensive medication to some of my patients on niraparib.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for this special interview program to a CME activity on PARP inhibitors in the management of ovarian cancer.